Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to get a Red Bull update from Kuwait, review the last year with the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and check in with the Minnesota Patriot Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Maintaining personal readiness ensures that our force is physically and mentally prepared to execute the mission. It can be challenging for service members who drill 1 week in a month to maintain the fitness level of those on active duty. That's why every Minnesota National Guard unit has leaders to assist soldiers and airmen with maintaining fitness goals and healthy lifestyles. As the Army prepares to roll out the new combat fitness test, it's vital for our service members to take advantage of the resources their units provide. In the meantime, make sure you have a healthy eating plan, get 7 to 9 hours of sleep daily, and of course, drink water, preferably a minimum of 8 cups per day. Please join me in making a commitment to the health and wellness of our force so we can ensure the Minnesota National Guard is always ready.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we're getting a Red Bull update from Kuwait today. The 34th Red Bull Infantry Division headquarters is in the Middle East as command and control for Operation Spartan Shield. They're currently responsible for command and control of nearly 10,000 soldiers from subordinate brigades conducting theater security operations in the area. And today we're going to talk to some folks from the headquarters battalion medical staff who are responsible for providing health care services to all of the 34th Infantry Division soldiers stationed in Kuwait. And joining me now is Nicole Smith, who is the battalion surgeon. Major Smith, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Greetings, Tom. Thanks for having us. Hello, everyone from Kuwait.
Major, you just heard the Adjutant General's message to us today on health and wellness, and I would say you probably have some different instructions in the desert. Probably have to drink a little more water.
Oh, a little bit.
So, Major, how are our Red Bull soldiers doing on this deployment?
You know, our Red Bull soldiers are doing really well. Our job here, we spend about 50% of the time in the clinic providing direct medical care. And I'll tell you that the majority of what I'm seeing, other than coughs and colds, is sports-related injuries. I do a lot of physical training with people, teaching them different exercise regimens and prescribing them healthy diets.
So, Major, I've been to Kuwait a couple of times with the show, and what we've seen over there is that your soldiers get into a routine where they work out and they eat and they go to work and they do these things, but they run a lot of 5Ks, and I suppose when they're doing that much exercise, then there's some minor injuries.
There are, and so we talk a lot about not increasing too far too fast. I've run 2 of the 5Ks myself so far. It's about training your body properly to perform when you need it to, and not increasing your exercise regimen too quickly.
So, Major, do you and your staff hold regularly scheduled sick calls so that the soldiers can come in for whatever problems they might experience?
We do. We have Monday through Friday sick call, and then we also are on call for some of the emergencies. There's a hospital here, though, that also provides ER services, so there's quite robust resources if they're needed.
So everything that we need to take care of our Red Bull soldiers are in place.
We do. We are able to do quite a bit in theater here.
Major, last month, I think we were talking to Sergeant Ben, who's a part of the radio program and has been for a while, and we were following some rainstorms in Kuwait. They had floods in the desert, and that's something we hadn't heard about before, and from all the pictures and things we saw, that was quite an experience, but I understand that woke up some bugs and some minor problems. Did it cause any trouble at sick call?
Really, no. We didn't see an uptick in gastrointestinal illnesses, and the housing program went to great lengths to do mold mitigation and prevent mold. So we've not seen any fallout in respiratory or GI illnesses from the flooding. They were really proactive with the housing program here.
And it sounded like all the soldiers just pitched in and diverted the water and cleaned things up pretty quickly. Just another issue on a deployment.
Just a small bump in the road. At no point did we have any issues with drinking water, and everybody pitched in and helped together. You know, the Minnesota National Guard is in charge of flood fighting back in Minnesota, and why should things be any different here in Kuwait?
Good experience. Just didn't know we had to use it in the desert, Major. Major, I understand you're from Scandia, Minnesota, which is up by Forest Lake?
That's true. I live in Scandia now. I work in the Osceola Medical Center and at the Outreach Scandia Clinic. I'm originally from Lindstrom, Minnesota.
And our show can be heard each weekend on the Forest Lake at WLKX FM 95.9. If you'd like to say something to your friends and relatives up that way, now's the time.
Oh, absolutely. Greetings to my husband, to my sons, and to my parents in Lindstrom. We miss you a lot. I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Major. We'd like to check in now with Staff Sergeant Tyler Becker, who is the non-commissioned officer in charge of the Battalion Medical Readiness. Sergeant Becker, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Sergeant Becker, where are you from back here?
I'm from Sartell, Minnesota. I live in South St. Paul right now.
So Sartell's up by St. Cloud, and the show once again up there will be heard on WJON AM 1240. So if you'd like to give a greeting to those folks up there, you can do that now.
Hello, everyone from back home. I hope you're enjoying this nice winter. We are not, so thank you for that.
Sergeant Becker, it was about 4 degrees when I was driving to the studio this morning. How hot did it get today in the desert?
70.
That's a little bit
70-ish.
That's quite a difference, but 70 in the desert isn't too bad, is it?
It's a perfect day here.
Perfect
day. Sun was out, wasn't cloudy, no dust storms. Couldn't ask for more.
Sergeant Becker, can you tell us about what you do each day over there in the desert?
Well, between working sick calls and some morning, I'm also in charge of our medical readiness for the battalion, so it's a lot of document pulls, verifying that their medical records are getting updated and that I'm taking care of our soldiers from more of an admin aspect on one side of the house and also physically when they're at sick call.
So you're over at Camp Arifjan in Kuwait, and some of our Red Bulls are spread out a little bit. Is there adequate medical care for the rest of them?
Yes, there is. They've actually got a very good network set up around here that we can reach out to, not just an Army hospital, but other people are getting treatment from the Air Force and the Navy, depending on where they're located.
So what's the typical thing you see at a sick call on any given morning?
Well, the best part about sick call is you never know what's going to walk through the door. So we'll see one day, we'll see a whole bunch of knee patients. Next day can be all respiratory. Next day can just be a random between aches and pains, back pains, upper respiratory issues, to I need stitches.
And our Red Bull soldiers over there probably range in age from 18 to about 55, so there's got to be a whole range of different things that affect our soldiers at different ages.
That is true. We have a vast range of ages with our battalion.
And so, Major, I want to come back to you. Are you on duty every time we have a sick call, or are you nearby in case something needs your assistance?
I am on duty 5 days a week for sick call.
And, Major, when you're not deployed, what's your occupation back here in the States?
So I'm a rural family practice doctor in Osceola, Wisconsin, in Scandia, Minnesota. What that looks like is kind of the old school doctor. I have clinic, I do inpatient hospital rounds, I still deliver babies and make nursing home rounds.
So hopefully, except for delivering babies, your sick calls might mirror your practice back here.
They can be quite similar. My patients here are younger and healthier.
So Major, has technology followed our soldiers from here in Minnesota back over to Kuwait? Are you able to check their medical history if you need to get access to it and make sure that your care is consistent with what they've had back here in Minnesota?
The electronic medical record technology here is more robust than it is on the National Guard side of the house, so I can see everything that I need to see from here. It's been really nice.
Well, we found out the last couple times we were over there that you can get coffee, you can go to the base exchange, our soldiers have a way of making themselves comfortable, even in the desert.
That is true. The only thing that you can't get here that you can get at home is my mother's cookies.
Well, and she can always send those too, so hopefully you get some before the deployment is out.
We ate them all already.
Okay, Major. Well, Major Smith and Sergeant Becker, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we want to talk to a couple of your colleagues on the deployment. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're doing our Red Bull update from Kuwait with the Red Bull Battalion Medical Team. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we've been getting a Red Bull update from Kuwait. And on the first segment, we talked to the Red Bull Battalion Medical Team, the Battalion Surgeon, Major Nicole Smith, and the Battalion Medical Readiness NCO, Staff Sergeant Tyler Becker. And we got two more of that team with us today, and that's Sergeant Emily Thieringer and Specialist Nick Buck. Welcome to the show to both of you.
Thank Morning, you, Tom.
Sergeant Thieringer, I want to start with you. Can you tell us what's your position on the battalion medical team?
I work as Sergeant Becker's assistant, more or less. So I'm the readiness NCO assistant person.
So are you there at each of the 5-day-a-week morning sick calls then?
Tom, we rotate. We take turns. So I do go to my rotation of sick call, and I very much enjoy my sick call mornings.
And what is your occupation back here in Minnesota?
I'm a respiratory therapist. I work for Mayo Clinic out of Rochester.
So you bring some pretty specific experience to that job when you're over in Kuwait.
I do.
Hopefully that hasn't come into play too often where our soldiers are experiencing breathing problems and respiratory conditions that need your expertise, but it's nice to know that you're there to help them.
Yeah, it is nice. It's nice for me to be able to apply my skills occasionally when we get somebody who's got a cold that's lasted a long time, or even I think we've seen a case or two of a little bit of bronchitis, so it's been nice to be able to apply my skills.
Sergeant Thieringer, you practice down in Rochester, I think you told me, and we're on KROC AM 1340 in Rochester, and you graduated from Litchfield, and the show can be heard on KLFD AM 1470. Any message you want to give to your family or friends from Litchfield or Rochester?
I would love to, Tom. My mom and dad recently moved back to Litchfield, so I love you, Mom and Dad.
And I'm sure a lot of your colleagues from the Mayo will be able to hear this interview as well, as long as you tell them that we were on the radio today. How's our Red Bull soldiers in good shape, and is the weather been, I know you get dust storms and other things, but other than that and the flood, has the deployment been relatively routine?
It has been relatively routine. Winter here is very pleasant. The flowers bloom because they get a little bit of rain. They get yellow and purple flowers. I'm sure that the locals think they're weeds, but I certainly appreciate a little bit of color here.
A little something besides the sand of the desert. Thank you, Sergeant Thieringer.
Yes,
I want to spend a few minutes with Specialist Nick Buck. Specialist Buck, good to have you on the show.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell me what's your occupation back here in Minnesota when you're not deployed?
So I actually work for the battalion in the S3 shop, which is operations in Invergrove Heights full-time when I'm not here.
So is that position medically related at all?
It is not. It has more to do with training.
All right, that's good, and I'm sure they miss you while you're out there. What is your position as part of the battalion medical team on the deployment then?
So the biggest thing my job entails is doing what Major Smith, Sergeant Becker, and Sergeant Thieringer tell me to do. I work sick call certain mornings, and then I assist them in the office throughout the day. And then I am the lead instructor for combat lifesaver training, which is training that we put non-medical personnel through, basic life support skills.
So that's just emergency training in case one of our soldiers gets in some kind of a problem.
Exactly, Tom. You know, there's only three medics and one doc here with us, so We can't be all places at one time, so these are basic life-saving skills for the other soldiers to have.
Now, Specialist Buck, I understand you're from Burnsville?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Burnsville, and I currently live in Prior Lake.
Burnsville and Prior Lake. All right. Here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota Military Radio can be heard on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, Sunday mornings at 7. It can also be heard on Bob FM, Saturday mornings at 7. So your friends will be able to tune in and listen. And do you have any message for your family and friends back here in the Twin Cities?
Absolutely. I just want to say hi to my wife, Marianne. I love you and miss you very much. And the rest of my family, especially my sister. Don't worry, I'm doing great, and I'll be home soon.
Well, Specialist Buck, I hope you and your colleagues have a very routine and boring deployment for the rest of these months, and that we don't need those superb medical skills for any big problems. And I wish you all very, very well in the rest of this deployment at Camp Irfjan in Kuwait.
Thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate you having me.
I'd like to thank all of you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. That was the 34th Infantry Division Red Bull Battalion Medical Team, direct from Camp Irfjan, Kuwait. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to the studio. I see your hat of courage brought you in again.
It did, and thank you, Tom.
And it's January, so I imagine you didn't ride your motorcycle.
No, not yet. It's still waiting in the garage.
So even you can drive a Cage or a truck.
I can drive a Cage.
All right, that's very good. I want to talk a little bit about Minnesota Patriot Guard and their missions to go on, even though it's cold weather. This weekend is going to be cold all over the state. And when you go to missions, you want to make sure that your Minnesota Patriot Guard riders are dressed properly.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, that's one of the critical things. We'll actually walk through the line and make sure that everybody's dressed warm. And if they're not, we'll either help them get there or station them inside or find some place that they can be safe at.
We got to take care of health and safety first, don't we?
We do.
Tim, I ask you every time you're on, but who's eligible to become a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider?
Anyone. Anyone's eligible. You don't have to have a motorcycle. You don't have to be a veteran. You just have to have the wanting to honor our military for what they do for us.
Have a good heart, a flag, and
yes.
And at your website, they can buy a vest like some of the riders wear. And
yep.
Of course, this time of year, you want to have a good coat on because you're probably outside. Now, where do they go to sign up?
At mnpatriotguard.org.
All right. We've talked in the last few times you were on about you got riders all over the state, and you got some ride captains all over the state. For anybody who wants to join, we just told them how to join. But if you want to step up to leadership, you're looking for people you can train to be ride captains and beyond.
Yes, we do. We need those all the time.
All right. And Tim, we've been talking for years now about the missions you go on because you go to funerals for our veterans. You go to departure ceremonies when our troops deploy. The ones you love best is when they come home.
Oh, yes.
And it might be in the middle of the night, might be anywhere, but you post it on your website. Yep. I'm never really sure how many riders are going to show up, but they always do.
They do. You know, it's amazing.
Now, you've been doing this for a long time. Are you getting a good amount of community support
when
you go out on your message?
Oh, yes, we do. You know, all the way from, there was a time that we were standing out in front of a funeral home, and it was cold and windy, and we were out there with our flags, and here comes a hook and ladder. Local fire department walks up, hands us two big thermoses of coffee and some cups and says, when you're done, bring the thermoses back.
So police and fire, the first responders know what you're doing.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, you support them as well.
Yes.
If we happen to lose one of them.
Yes. You know, so. The other thing, too, is, you know, the community, there hasn't been a time when I've needed parking for a mission. And the people around the church, I'll go to a parking lot of a convenience store and say, hey, we need some parking, and can I use your parking lot? And I don't think I've ever been turned down.
They say, bring them on over. Let's take care of it. They know what you're doing.
Yes.
Now, Tim, there's a lot of well-meaning people out there, but I know in the past we've had Patriot Guard riders have escorted buses to departure ceremonies, and occasionally people showed up and wanted to join. But there's a right way and a wrong way to go about these missions.
There is. We go ahead and have really good rapport with a lot of community support, and we know what the families want. So if somebody just jumps in, we don't know what they're doing or what their intentions are. They don't know, you know, our hand signals. They don't know any of the rest of this. So if they want to, join first, and we'll teach you all everything you need to know.
So the right way and the wrong way is, yes. if you want to help, if you want to recognize our first responders and our military, yep. if you want to participate in this, become a Patriot yes. Guard rider.
Yes.
You'll go there. The ride captains will show you the right way to do it.
Yes.
And it's all about what?
Honor, dignity, and respect.
Very good, Tim. I want to thank you for coming to the studio today, and please ask all of your riders to be careful out there this winter.
We do. Thank you.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the Flag Line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a few moments, we're going to check in with the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and find out what they've been up to the last year and what's coming up in 2019. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
As I settle in my role of Commissioner of Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, I continue to be impressed by the tremendous work our folks do here. The Veterans Homes Division provides a continuum of long-term care for its residents, with a strong emphasis on remembering and recognizing the service and sacrifices of all veterans. The five veterans homes operating in Minnesota are located in Minneapolis, Hastings, Silver Bay, Laverne, and Fergus Falls. These homes focus on providing excellent care and services that Minnesotans expect of our state's military heroes. We also have three future state veterans homes on the horizon in Preston, Montevideo, and Bemidji. Stay tuned for more. In addition to overseeing the five state veteran homes, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs oversees more than 20 state programs that help eligible veterans and their families secure state and federal benefits. These teams also provide programs and services relating to higher education, benefits, burials, claims, outreach, homelessness, and veterans' preference. Key partnerships include the Veterans Service Organizations, County Veterans Service Officers, and a number of public and private service providers. I look forward to continuing to work with these important organizations to serve our veterans here in Minnesota.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Robbie Robinson, who is the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer and also the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. And Robbie, it's good to have you in studio this week.
Yeah, it's good to be here again. I think I did it the first time I ever recorded with you. We did it in studio, and back at it here today. It's nice to come up here every once in a while.
And we've been hearing from you for about a month, once a month for over the last year, and you renewed as the president of the association for another year, so you'll have gone 2 years, and we'll look forward to talking to you as we go forward. But I want to introduce you a little. We've got a little longer segment today. I want our listeners to learn some background from you. I understand that you started out in the Georgia Air National Guard, which is great. You were an airman for a while, but then you went into the Navy for over 20 years.
Yep. I joined the Georgia Air National Guards right out of high school and had a colonel pick me up when I was walking home from school one day and said, "You are going to join the Guard, aren't you?" So I said, "Yeah, I guess I am." So I joined the Georgia Air National Guard and served for a couple years started looking around at what was going on in the world at the time and ended up joining the Navy so I could see the world.
Oh, that used to be the slogan, wasn't it? Join the Navy, see the world. But these days, you can join the Minnesota National Guard and see the world. We just talked to some Red Bull soldiers from Kuwait, and they get around quite a bit now, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not just the weekends and 2 weeks a year anymore.
So you served a good 20 years in the Navy, did a lot of things. You earned your Naval Air Crewman badge. When you were done... before you were done, probably, you met a lady in the Navy and got married.
Yeah, I met my wife, Wendy, 35 years ago at NAS Jacksonville, Florida. We were actually playing softball against each other. She was on the other squadron's team, and the rest is history after that. But, we've been together for 35 years now. So,
in addition to serving our military, I understand that you also served as mayor of Cannon Falls for a bit.
Yeah, I... served for 10 years as mayor of Cannon Falls, finished my 10 years, and my political career is
In the rearview mirror?
In the rearview mirror now.
So how long have you been a County Veteran Service Officer?
I've been a service officer for about 9 years now. I started out in Washington County, and then once the Goodhue County Service Officer retired, since I do live in Goodhue County, I applied for his position and moved to my county.
So you're keeping an eye on things, but in addition to serving our country in the Navy for 20 years, now you've been serving as a County Veteran Service Officer to help our veterans for almost 9 years, and you're going to stay at that for a while, Robbie?
Yep. I was a Chief Petty Officer in the United States Navy, and our job was to train our junior officers and to take care of our troops. And this way affords me the opportunity to continue to take care of the troops, who are all the veterans that come into my office, and it's the best job in the world.
Robbie, we're speaking with Robbie Robinson, the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer and also the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, on Minnesota Military Radio. Robbie, we've been talking on and off for a year now about the fact that for anything veteran-related, anything related to their service, any issues the veteran or the family need, the place for them to start is with their County Veteran Service Officer. We have at least one in every county in Minnesota.
Yes, we do. By state statute, every county in the state is required to hire a veteran service officer.
And your association, the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, meets twice a year, but you provide a lot of training and resource knowledge and information to your county veteran service officers so that they're aware of a lot of resources out there.
Yeah, the association, this is our 75th year, taking care of our Minnesota veterans. And the association holds training twice a year. We have district trainings throughout the year. Actually, we have one in Rochester tomorrow for our Southeast region service officers on some topics and new VA pension requirements. So we're always training and trying to stay up to date with all the new information that's coming our way.
So, Robbie, there's two resources that we talk a lot about on Minnesota Military Radio, and one is Family Assistance Centers of Minnesota. If our military or their families need any help while they're serving, they should start with the Family Assistance Centers because they have a lot of resources available. But for our veterans, if they have any issues or think they may have some issues in the future, or if they have some kind of a medical problem that started when they were in the service, first place to go is to see your county veteran service officer.
Yep, that should be your first stop. Bring your DD-214 in, or if you don't have it, come in. We'll sit down and figure out where it might be located. If it's not on file with the state or at your county, we'll go to the National Archives and try to get you a copy of it, and then we can get the ball rolling to get the benefits that you've earned.
So if there's any medical issues or anything related to their service in the military, they can start a claim with your help or the help of one of your fellow county veteran service officers.
Yep, sure can. We can put in a claim in for disability compensation for anything that was either caused or aggravated by service.
And can you tell us, how does that process work generally?
Well, once the service member comes in, we establish what issues that they would like to put a claim in for. We do some paperwork. We work on getting their medical records, whether they were civilian records or their military records. A lot of times the VA will have those records for us, and we put the claim in, and the ball goes from there.
So you help them fill out the claim forms, and you help them find some documentation to justify the claim and support that it was something that happened during their military service, and you send it off to the VA. How long has it taken now? A few years ago, there was a big delay. Is that speeding up?
It depends on the claim. Some of them might go 3 months. Some of them might be 4 months. Some of them might go a little longer.
And then, in addition to your county veteran service officers helping fill out the claim, the veteran service organizations have some folks that help advocate. If, for instance, if they belong to the DAV or they belong to the American Legion, there's people down at the Wiffle Building that can help with that as well.
Yep. We work with them hand in hand, depending on which POA the veteran selects, so that we can make sure that that veteran gets his benefits he or she earned.
Robbie, since 9/11/2001, we've had troops deployed all over the world doing lots of things, and there was a big increase of veterans that had some issues, and I think that helped, or it didn't help. It caused problems in terms of the number of claims went up, and then the backlog time became a problem. But now it seems like the VA's kind of worked through that some.
I think the VA's worked well through that to get the backlog down, so that we can get the claims to the veterans a lot sooner.
And what's your experience been with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system?
They are very, very good. We've got one of the best hospitals in the country. I saw a report just the other day that the wait times at VA hospitals are shorter than a lot of the civilian hospitals.
So you work as county veteran service officers. You work closely with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, with the Commander's Task Force, with the Minneapolis VA Hospital. And, of course, you work closely also with the DAV and their VAN program to get people, get our veterans to their appointments.
Yes, a lot of our service officers use DAV vans to get the veterans back and forth to their medical appointments. Other counties have other volunteer drivers and other means of getting them there. But if a veteran needs a ride for a VA health appointment, we'll find a way to get them there.
All right, Robbie, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about what county veteran service officers do and an event call coming up called Veterans Day on the Hill. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I've been joined in the studio today by Robbie Robinson, who is the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer and the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. And Robbie, we've talked about the fact that there's a county veteran service officer in every county, and any issue that a veteran might have, any questions, any problems, if they start with their county veteran service officer, you should be able to either take care of them or refer them to someone who can.
Service officers are well-versed in all the VA programs, even state programs. Just last year, in 2018, there was over $2 billion worth of VA benefits that came through the state of Minnesota. That was fiscal year 17, I'm sorry, is when that was. The 18 numbers I don't have yet, but I do have with the state of Minnesota, with the State Soldiers Assistance Program, we had veterans get over $3 million worth of help just through the State Soldiers Assistance Program. And the folks that get that help have to be, the CVSO has to recommend them for that service. So,
now, Robbie, we've talked on and off over the past about the fact that even if the veteran out there doesn't need anything today, might be worthwhile to stop by and see his county veteran service officer, bring in his DD-214, get registered. So in case he needs some help in the future, or in case his family needs some help in the future, you know who he is or she is, and you have the records and they're in the system.
Yep. Come on in the office. A lot of times we'll have the veteran put their DD-214 on file with the county so that just in case maybe they have a fire or a flood or a tornado or something that and they lose their discharge papers, they're important. I mean, just like they told us when we were getting out of the service years ago, that's the most important piece of paper that you'll have, because any benefits start with that, even burial benefits. And if we've got them on file and the family's sprawling after a veteran passes away, we're able to get the records for the family or for the funeral home to make sure that the veteran gets the services even after they've passed.
So for all our veterans out there, if you haven't met your county veteran service officer, get your 214, call for appointment or stop in. And if you're not located close enough to your county veteran service officer, you can go to the next county too.
Yep. We will not turn a veteran away. We will do what we've got to do to make sure that veteran gets the initial help they need. And if we need to send them to their county because it's closer, we'll do that. But we will take care of all veterans in the state, because that's what we do.
Now, Robbie, we talked in the first segment about the fact that you work together with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. You work with the Veterans Service Organization commanders, who get together in a group called the Commander's Task Force, and you work with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But one of the things that's coming up now that we've turned the calendar and it's a new year, legislature's coming back in session. The Commander's Task Force is working on some legislative priorities. And I understand this year you're going to be a big part of what's called Veterans Day on the Hill.
Yep. This year is the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers year to host the event. We will be working with the Commander's Task Force, the United Veterans Legislative Council, and ourselves to put on the Veterans Day on the Hill rally at the Capitol on March the 20th. That'll be at 1:30 in the afternoon. Earlier in the day, about 10:30 in the morning, the DAV is sponsoring a free lunch for veterans. And we look for all the veterans in the state to come up so that we can start making sure that our legislators know that we're out here and we want to keep our benefits.
So this is a big combined effort between the county veteran service officers, all of the veteran service organizations, especially DAV, we're going to talk about them in a minute, and the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the commanders from the 9 federally certified veteran service organizations, such as American Legion, VFW, DAV, Purple Hearts. If I keep going, I'm going to forget somebody. I don't want to do that. But they all get together, and what they've been doing since they were elected last summer and last fall is getting together monthly and talking about legislative priorities.
Yep. We've come up with certain areas that we're looking at trying to get bills introduced this year. I've got 4 of them here, like keeping surviving spouses in their homes. There's a program out there that the surviving spouse of a 100% service-connected veteran can stay in their home for 8 years and get their property tax exclusion. But after 8 years, it goes away. So we're trying to make that permanent if possible.
And they don't get a raise after 8 years, so they still need the help beyond that.
Oh, yeah. We also want to ensure that the long-term stability of services for veterans across Minnesota is kept in place. We want to increase the access to the outdoors for disabled veterans. And we also want to ensure full funding for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the 3 new veterans homes that are planned to be built here in the state.
And they've announced and made some progress on that last year to build 3 new veterans homes, but those aren't done yet. That's going to take a few years to get those opened up, and hopefully that'll help with the waiting list, because there is a waiting list to get veterans into the homes.
Oh, yeah, there's a waiting list at a lot of the homes here in the state. I think the only one that doesn't might be Hastings because of the type of home that is, because it's a domiciliary. So these 3 new veterans homes will help out a lot for our aged veterans.
We're speaking with Robbie Robinson from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. We've been talking this segment, Robbie, about Veterans Day on the Hill for this year. It's going to be March 20th, 2019. There's going to be a free Veterans and Supporters pre-rally lunch at 10:30. And then there's going to be a Veterans March to the rally at 12:45 and a rally in the Rotunda at 1:30 to 2:30. This is it's changed a little bit over the last few years, but we have an opportunity for all the veterans that come to meet with their legislative representatives from the area they come from.
Yeah, what I do is the veterans that come from my county, I set up meetings with the representatives and the senators, and we try to find time to meet with them and present our concerns so that when they're voting on bills, they know that we've got their back, or they've got our back when we're trying to get our veterans' issues passed.
So what we've tried to do over the last few years is get as many veterans as possible to come up to that Veterans Day on the Hill, March 20th. And last year, I know that the DAV, Minnesota, davmn.org, put together a huge program for buses to help veterans get to the Capitol that day. Are they doing it again this year?
Yeah, I talked with Trent Diltz, who was heading that up, and the DAV of Minnesota will pay for 50% of any group that wants to charter a bus from communities across Minnesota to get our veterans to the Capitol.
All right, so that's going on again, and information on that can be found at davmn.org. And once again, any group utilizing the DAV 50% match must offer transportation to Veterans Day on the Hill free of charge to the veterans. And if you go to their website, they can help you with that. We really want to get as many veterans up there as possible. And when that rally starts, Robbie, the pre-rally, where is that located?
That's going to be over at the Armory, right there next to the Capitol.
So that's one block from the Capitol building at 600 Cedar Street, St. Paul. And then it says that there's going to be a march, a short march, up to the Veteran Service Building at 12:45, and that's really just a block or so away, so it's not going to be a baton force march or anything, is it?
Not going to be that, but we hope to have the color guards there to lead us all the way up to the Capitol steps so that we can start our rally that day.
And then at 1:30 to 2:30, that's going to be at the Capitol in the Rotunda. There's going to be an incredible opportunity to meet with your local legislature and tell them about your concerns to help take care of our veterans and keep the promise.
Yep, that's what we signed up for, and we want to make sure that we still have our benefits intact.
All right, so once again, the Commander's Task Force has been working with the DAV and with the County Veteran Service Officers. They've got some priorities listed, And if we want to see that, where do they find the information? Usually they publish a little booklet on the priorities for the year.
Yeah, we will have handouts that we'll pass out the day of the event, and then there'll be flyers going out throughout the state to all the service organizations and all the county veteran service officers so we can disseminate the information before we get there.
And then I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but the best place to go for information about Veterans Day on the Hill, the buses, any questions you have, it'd be davmn.org because they've got everything on their website.
Yep, they should have everything there.
All right, we just got about a minute left. Can you run through Veterans Day on the Hill again for us?
Veterans Day on the Hill will be March the 20th, 2019. We're going to have a pre-rally lunch at 10:30. Veterans March to the rally at 12:45, and we will have the actual rally in the rotunda from 1:30 to 2:30 on March the 20th.
We want as many veterans as possible to come on down for Veterans Day on the Hill, talk to our elected officials and tell them how important it is to take care of our veterans and keep the promise that was made to us when we took the oath.
Yep, that's what we would like to see.
Robbie, appreciate you coming to the studio today. It's good to see you instead of just talking on the phone.
Well, it's great to finally be back up here again and enjoy talking with you from month to month about the different programs that we have for our veterans.
Keep up the good work. I look forward to talking to you all next year.
Sounds good.
That was Robbie Robinson from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. We have one mention today. Tom Getzinger from KCHK in New Prague is going to have their second annual New Prague Veterans Memorial Fundraiser on Saturday, February 9th from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the American Legion Park Ballroom in New Prague. There's a showcase of 7 local bands, door prizes, and silent auctions. So let's make sure we get a lot of folks to show up there. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Our folks from the Red Bull Update, Major Nicole Smith, Staff Sergeant Tyler Becker, Sergeant Emily Thieringer, Specialist Nick Buck, Robbie Robinson from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Also like to thank Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about a great research program at the Minneapolis VA and get an update from the St. Cloud VA. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.